Great. Again, my name is Molly Marin. I am the webinar coordinator for the New York State RTI Technical Assistance Center. Just a few reminders, all upcoming professional development opportunities can be found on our webpage, nysrti.org. A copy of today's PowerPoint is also found on our webpage. If you go under professional development and then under webinars, you'll find it under today's webinar title. At the end of today's webinar, we'll post a link to a very brief evaluation. If you could please take a few minutes to respond, we appreciate that feedback. And during today's presentation, please use the chat box for any questions or comments that you may have. We are very pleased to have back with us today Dr. Allison Boardman to present the fifth webinar in our Strand 12 series, Implementing Collaborative Strategic Reading in Grades 4 through 12. Today's topic is Putting It All Together. Dr. Allison Boardman is an assistant research professor in the School of Education at the University of Colorado Boulder, where she teaches courses on differentiating instruction. She conducts research and works with school districts across the country to improve students' reading comprehension and English language proficiency in general education settings. She has written books and numerous articles on teaching reading comprehension. And at this time, I'd like to welcome back Dr. Allison Boardman.
Hello there, and happy Thursday. Welcome to the final Collaborative Strategic Reading Initial Professional Learning. I'm very excited to have you here, and I noticed that we have a small group, so I really would love this to be as interactive as is possible in this technological environment that we're in. So today the things that I have for our foci are to review the wrap-up, and if you had a chance to try it in your classroom, we'd love to hear how it's going. And perhaps I can answer some questions or give you some tips. The CSR strategy focus for today is really putting everything together into one learning routine and teaching routine. So I'm going to be focusing particularly on the quality of discussion within a full CSR lesson, and also be talking about how to plan effective CSR lessons. And towards the end of the session, we'll hear a teacher talk a little bit about his planning process, and hopefully you'll find that helpful. And then we'll end with a visit to the CSR Colorado website, the toolkit that's available to teachers. And actually, as an introduction, it would be great for me if you could type into the chat, use that chat feature, to just let me know if you have logged in, created a login, and been to the CSR toolkit. So if you could just take a second and just tell me yes or no, that would be great. Okay, so we have two who are feeling comfortable to tell me, one yes and one no, and I'll expect that the rest of the gang, maybe we're split in the yeses and nos. So after today, one of the things I would really encourage you to do is to log on to that website. It is a free resource. It has lots and lots of materials to download and PD modules, and it's really for you. It was designed for with grant funding to be freely available to teachers, and that's the purpose of it. So we are really excited to have teachers start to use it and also to give us feedback so we can make it better. As a review, Annette is saying she's having trouble with the volume, so I'm going to let Molly work on that, and I'm going to turn my volume up on my end. Let's see. I don't know if that helps a little bit. And Robert says, yes, he has used the website. So collaborative strategic reading. Here is our big review. This is a teaching and learning routine. So we start with the preview, and then kids get into collaborative groups of about four. They begin reading the text, which has been divided usually in 2 to 3 sections. They read a section out loud together in small groups. They stop and identify words or ideas they don't know, and then work together to use fix-up strategies or to talk through the words, putting them back into the sentence to make sure they make sense. Then they get the gist, which is our main idea strategy. So again, we go back and forth between individual work and sharing, so we'll talk about that more in a second. And kids will cycle through with a different section sections of text that have been divided up by the teacher. And then when they're done, they wrap up by writing questions and asking the questions to each other in their small groups or to the class. And then they review by writing a couple of sentences about what they have learned. And then they talk about it, providing evidence from the text and really learning to defend their response and say why the ideas that they thought were the most important really are. And then the teacher brings the group back together for a whole class review. So I'm not sure if anyone had a chance to do questions or review in their classroom, but if you did, please right now use that chat feature to tell us how it went or to ask some questions. Did you have a chance with your kids to try questions and or review? So I'll give you a second to type in. If you had a chance, let us know how it went. And I don't see anyone typing yet, so I am going to assume people maybe haven't had a chance. Joanna is typing. But you know what? Even if you haven't had a chance, there's still time. And you can do – one of the things that's nice about CSR is you can use the strategies individually. So if you just want to practice with questions, you can have kids reading in any way that makes sense in your classroom, and then have kids ask and answer questions to each other using that CSR strategy. Or you can use all of them together. One of the things to keep in mind is our research does show that fidelity to the way the individual strategy was designed is important. So if you are going to just try one, try it first, the way I have outlined it, the way it is outlined on the website, and then, you know, you can adapt it if you need to. So even if you're just doing one, use high fidelity, highly aligned to the model. If you're using all of them, that's great too. You want to try them first the way they were intended before you make too many adaptations. And Joanna says she's just started to introduce preview, and wants to finish with accountable talk work. And accountable talk is such an excellent connection to CSR. So all of that work with accountable talk will slide right into those discussions that the kids are having during CSR. As a reminder, one of the really important resources are these expert roles. This is what helps the students manage their small group work. It guides the kids through the strategies. That's really important. So it kind of tells them what to do if they forget. It also gives individual students a leadership role in the process. So the leader has a role sort of throughout the CSR reading. The clunk expert kind of shines during click and clunk. And same with gist expert and question expert. But everybody does the work of all of the strategies. It's just that the expert facilitates that particular part of the process. So one of the things I wanted to address today is these stages of collaboration. And I think it's really important to be very mindful of what you're expecting of students. So what are we telling students to do in these small groups? Do they really understand what collaboration is? And whatever our focus is for them, are we able to intentionally notice what the kids are doing so that we can give them great feedback and really be able to evaluate the quality? So a lot of times when I'm working with teachers, they aren't collecting as much data on this group work process. But if we think discussion is important, and we certainly know it is important in terms of standards, it's important in terms of preparing kids to be successful in life, and we also know that there is a connection between the quality of students' discussion and their reading comprehension. So it has a very specific application with reading. And it also has an application in other areas of life. So that's nice. We want things that apply in different places. And Robert says he's been building CSR skills and is going to be implementing questions next week. So that is terrific, Robert. And remember, when you're introducing questions, depending on your students and how comfortable they are, you can introduce the questions one at a time so they can just work on write their questions for a whole day or what type of questions, or you can start to mix them up as the kids gain proficiency or if they already have proficiency in question writing. And also remember, in those flip books, and you can download also from the website, those question frames are incredibly helpful to kids when they are, some of them, it's especially helpful when they're first learning, but even when they know it, there are many kids who benefit from using those question starters, and we have them available in English and in Spanish. All right, so back to collaboration. So the first stage, and they look somewhat hierarchical, and I suppose they are, but there is a place for each stage of collaboration. So the first stage is independent, and even though we don't think of independent work as collaborative work, it is really what sets the table, so to speak, for the discussions that are going to come. So having that preparation in the independent phase is essential. The next is sharing. So that's what happens in the brainstorm. So this is when each kid is being able to share what they know, what they think, what their ideas are. But there isn't as much give and take. There's not feedback back and forth like we think of in a discussion. Discussion is just that. So kids are listening to each other. They are responding to each other. And they are providing feedback. And then in the connection and consensus stage, the students are kind of taking it up a level. They are moving into making some connections with other things they have learned. They may be working to come to consensus about a bigger idea or linking back to the learning objectives for the day or some other big ideas in the world. So that is stage four. So again, students in the independent phase are working quietly and independently. Why is this so important? This is a form of wait time. This is where we allow kids at all different levels to take that time and space they need, even if it's very short, to think through their thoughts and then to write something down so they actually have something to contribute to the group. If we jump right into discussion, we often get the loudest voices, the kids who love to talk, the kids who think by talking. I have a son in my house who's just like that, and he will dominate the conversation because the language comes very quickly to him, whereas other students need to think and process first. That is why the independent phase is so important. Sharing is when we are giving our ideas. So I wanted to just show you this little back and forth. It occurred during the brainstorm section of CSR. So the students had 1 minute to write down what they knew about whatever the topic is. I can't quite remember. And here is what they say. So Megan says, I said it's hard and they have to get a job and probably get stressed about work and school and their family. And Joseph says, okay, so I think it is probably pretty awkward and they probably get mad at their family. And Mariah says, yeah, so I wrote that it would be extremely challenging and take a lot of patience. And Gabby says, busy, boring, not very interesting, hard work, challenging. So they're responding to some prompt about adults who are working. And you can see that everybody has an individual idea and that they are, we would hope if we were watching them, listening to one another, but they are not commenting or giving feedback to one another. So this is really important because it's a very safe space. Kids learn, I can say my ideas, nobody is going to criticize them, nobody is going to speak over me. I feel listened to, and I feel like my ideas are important, but I don't have to worry so much about that give and take that happens in discussion. And that's one of the reasons that the brainstorm comes in the beginning of the lesson, so kids can kind of warm up into the deeper discussion that is going to come later. In discussion, that's the dialogue. These are conversations. This is something that as adults we're quite familiar with, so are kids, but not always in an academic setting about academic topics. So here kids might ask clarifying questions, offer feedback, suggest revisions, or elaborate on ideas of others. I'm seeing that the volume is low. Let's see, is that helping? Because if it's not, I can switch how I am connected. So please let me know. I would love for you to be able to hear me very, very well. And I will continue. Okay, it's louder for Marcianne. I hope I'm saying your name right. Okay, so here's an example of a discussion. And these students are sharing their gists. Samantha says, mine is, since the desert has so many features, it is extremely difficult to survive. Okay, so mine is, the desert can be very dangerous, and it makes it hard to survive. So right now, we're just at sharing. Okay, so one person shared their gist, and then the second person shared. Now, here we get into the discussion. But you didn't say anything about the features. This part here is, and he's pointing to his text. And Samantha says, well, look at this paragraph. We have to talk about the features. And David says, it is about the features. So then Alyssa hears those responses, and she says, okay, so I can rewrite it. Desert features can be very dangerous, and it makes it hard to survive. So here we have this student incorporating the feedback that is provided to her. That's the part that gets to discussion. But you'll notice they're staying in the text. This is very focused on the gist that they're writing. What is the main idea of this section? That's where this discussion is. So you'll notice now when we get into connection and consensus building that students are beginning to recognize that the text is linked to bigger ideas. They have been learning by connecting back to the purpose of the lesson. In this case, there's a topic that the student is going to bring up. So let's read through this one. So Hannah says, well, so I wrote carbon dioxide dissolves in the ocean, and this makes the water acid. I wrote that too, but I used acidification. That's a vocabulary word we're supposed to know. It is ocean acidification caused by carbon dioxide. And Angela says, wait, how does the carbon dioxide dissolve? Did I miss that? Now we have some clarifying. And Hannah says, so we're in discussion and we're still in the text. Right here, she points to the text. And then Nate is now reading and says, burning fossil fuels increases the amount of carbon dioxide in Earth's atmosphere, which can dissolve into the ocean. So we talked about that last week, remember? Now what he's doing is he's taking what they're reading in the text and he is making a connection into what this class is studying. We talked about it last week in class. That's where the connection consensus building comes in. And Jake says, right, we learned acidification. The oceans are becoming acidic because of gas, electricity, and using oil, fossil fuels. So we would consider this to be a high level of discussion quality. It's okay if it stays in the discussion and in the text. Sometimes that's what kids need. That's what they need to do to be able to understand. Once they understand, or one person understands, then they can start making these connections into bigger topic ideas and other things they're learning. That's the aha that we're looking for eventually for kids. And Robert has a comment. He said, having little experience with CSR, he's a science teacher, he was impressed by the level of discussion that happened in such a short period of time. And thank you for sharing that. I think that is a really, really key feature, is sometimes just by providing a little bit more structure to the conversations, kids begin to try on this academic talk, and then the discussions become a little bit more easy for them, and they get better and better. It's really pretty fun to see across content areas. So just as a review, when we're in preview, we are talking mostly about independent work, that's where we are, and sharing. And as I mentioned, and I don't want to hit it over the head, but I do think it's important that this low-stakes sharing is critical. Kids, especially those that are shy, kids with disabilities, our English learners, kids who just don't speak up in class for whatever reason, really begin to gain confidence in being part of the group during the brainstorm. When we get into click and clunk, We have that independent work. So kids, while they're reading, are monitoring their understanding. That's independent, even though it doesn't involve writing. Then they stop and independently identify words or ideas they do not understand. Then together they start to discuss what these words and concepts might mean, and they apply the fix-up strategies, and there's a lot of nice discussion and back and forth. Now, sometimes we see consensus building and click and clunk, but I would say the majority of the time we see the combination of independent and discussion. Forget the gist. We've got that discussion. We also have the independent. So the first thing they're going to do is they're going to begin to have a little discussion about what is the most important who or what. It says paragraph. It could be section of text. So there's just a little mini discussion that goes right there. Then kids identify the most important information. As they become more proficient with CSR, they do that on their own as part of the gist creation process. That is independent. And then they come back again. They share their gists, they discuss their gists, and they might even come to some consensus or make some connections. What we want to do, and what often happens in the beginning, is kids will either forget to share, so guide them back to their gist expert card. If you do not see kids sharing, if they write their gists and just move on to the next section, that's a problem. If we see them just sharing, so that's the next thing they'll do, is they will read their gist that they wrote and then they'll move on. So we want to remind kids about that discussion. That's where the sentence frames or accountable talk stems come in. A lot of kids need scaffolding. They need to know, how do I disagree? How do I give feedback? How do I add on? How do I listen? So you've got to really look closely at your class. Where are your kids in their development of these social and discussion skills? And teach what is missing. And if they're not good at listening to each other, then you may do some activities just around listening. And then you might get into, today we're just going to work on adding on. Or we're just going to work on politely disagreeing. And some of the scaffolds that are provided on the GIST expert card are very good ways to get kids started with these. So there is one discussion starter that says something like, how are our GISTs similar and different? It's a very clear question, and they often have to read them again or even read each other's papers so they can begin to compare and contrast the content. In wrap-up, which happens after reading, we've got kids writing questions on their own. Now, when you're first teaching them, you may have kids writing together, but very quickly kids can do this on their own, and then it's more authentic. So we can't ask a question if we've all come up with it together. So kids write the questions on their own, and then they ask them and answer them. And during that piece, we've got sharing, and it looks like I am missing. Let's see if we can find it. Oh, here we go. We also have discussion, and we have connection and consensus. And it's the same for review. So students are writing their review statements on their own. They are sharing them out. They are discussing them. And you will likely see the connection and consensus happening in both question generation and in review. So enough of me talking about what you're going to see. Let's watch some students demonstrating collaboration, and watch closely, and then we'll debrief what happens with this very short clip. Go ahead. Okay. So here we see some students trying to identify what's most important. They are going back to the reading. You may have noticed that they're using a role to guide their group. Everybody in the group is contributing ideas to the discussion. And you can see that kids go back and forth between discussion and the text. So sometimes they're looking at the text, they're trying to find information. Sometimes they're listening, sometimes they're talking. But we saw four kids that were very engaged. In the middle there, that was when they were writing, so they had some time to write their ideas down independently. I think we saw evidence of kids actively listening to each other, agreeing and disagreeing respectfully. We certainly saw textual evidence being used to support their ideas and offering feedback to ensure that peers are understanding the text. And I just wanted to note that this video is on our website, and then for many of the videos, not all, there is a little debriefing section that will point out the key features of the video. So I wanted to throw that in here to the PowerPoint so you could also see how the kinds of features that are offered on the website. So just as a review, what is happening in order for this collaboration to take place? The teacher is setting very clear content-related objectives for the lesson, but also a collaboration objective is really helpful. So in many classes, we have teachers who are required to have a content and a language objective. You may very easily have a language objective that is related to some part of collaboration. And it's great if you can collect some evidence from your class, you're watching your kids, you're watching them in the groups. What is one area that you can focus them on and tell them, this is, you know, when I listen to your discussions today, I really want to hear you providing your groupmates with feedback. That's what I'm listening for, and I'm going to give you feedback at the end of the class on how that's going. Those kinds of things really help to build the discussion over time. The heterogeneous groups is something that we've talked quite a bit about. The teacher pre-selects the group members and specifically assigns roles for the lesson. These role cards are helping kids be active members of the group and feel like they really are needed. They're face-to-face, so you want to make sure that you saw in that video we just looked at, the kids are really facing each other. It does not matter if they're on the floor, what kinds of desks they have, but you need to have a check on your groups. In my middle school classrooms, when I visit, often the first thing kids will do is they'll kind of line themselves up in a row, or they'll sort of half-heartedly turn their chairs around. And those are not effective groups if kids can't see each other and hear each other well. Individual accountability. The kids, everyone, has a learning log, and that is a good way to not just, you know, the word accountability, you know, I don't know if it's the perfect word. It makes it seem like it's a check, you know, is everyone doing what they're supposed to be doing? The individual accountability is everybody learning? Is everybody having time to think and write on their own in addition to having these productive discussions with their group? And you can give individual as well as group feedback with that learning log as the individual piece. And finally, having some way to process what happened in the group can be especially important for students. And I'll give you a few ideas in a minute about how to do that. So what are some resources that you might find on the Foundation module that can be helpful to you? So there is an intro mini lesson on collaboration, and that helps students learn more about roles. And they do this by getting together in role-alike groups. So you assign out the roles in your class, and then you have all the leaders meet together, and the GIST experts, and the, you know, CLUNK experts, and so on. If you have a lot of kids in each role, you might divide them up so they're in groups of about four. And together, they review their role cards. So here is a worksheet for the CSR leader role. And that you can you know, alter these questions. You can use fewer of them depending on the grade level of your students. But for a middle school group, we've used this in high school and in upper elementary as well. Here are some of the questions. So the kids are studying their roll cards. So they're looking at it. What am I supposed to be doing as the leader? They talk about that. And then they write down, what are the responsibilities of someone in this role? And they discuss it. Why is it important in CSR? Look through the CSR resource materials and find two things that can help you support your group. So what might, this is another way to review the resources. What might the leader do to support their group using some of the resources? How do you think this role works together with the other roles? And what will you do if one of your group members is not paying attention and doing the work? So now we're getting kids to feel responsible for the functioning of the group. How are we going to handle it, leaders, if we've got somebody who's not paying attention? Let's talk about that and brainstorm how we can support the other members in our group. And then they take their sheets, everybody fills one out, and they go back to their heterogeneous group that has the leader and the clunk expert and the gist expert, and then they can talk through this bottom part. The clunk expert in my group is blank, and the clunk expert will help my group buy. So the clunk expert's going to tell the group, here's how I'm going to help you. And same with gist expert and question expert, et cetera. So this is a way for them to work in role-alike groups and really study their role and think it through and kind of feel a little, you know, agency with being the leader. I know a lot about leader, and I just met with the leaders, and then go back to the group and work together. In the advanced PD, so the foundation modules cover, there's one on preview, one on click and clunk, et cetera. And then there are some additional resources. So this is for teachers who have started to use CSR, and these scenarios address things that typically come up in classrooms. So some of them are probably going to come up in yours. So scenario one, group dynamics gone awry. So the whole group is kind of just off the handle. What are you going to do about it? How are you going to help your kids? That is going to give you some great ideas for that. The next scenario is the one student show. So this is the kid who wants to do really well, is nervous about working in a group because he or she feels like the work might not get done, and they feel very anxious. So these kids often look bossy, and people might not want to work with them. But what you have to know about these one-student show type kids is often group work is very anxiety-provoking for them. It makes them very, very nervous and worried to think that the work might not be done well. So we want to support those students and also the other students in their group. Sometimes a student just wants to work alone. What are some ideas to problem solve that? And another one, advanced readers want to work together. How do we approach that in the classroom if we're seeing that heterogeneous groups are the most effective? So those are all great resources that you can find on the toolkit. Another is thinking about technology. I don't know if any of you have one-to-one computer access in your classrooms or Cardiff computers or if kids go to the computer lab. But we have teachers doing really interesting things with computers. But it is a different way to think through discussion. So this example, using computers with cooperative groups, you've got to rethink your norms when there is a computer mediating the discussion. What is discussion supposed to look like when kids are going back and forth between devices that are often thought of to them as independent? So you can see kids using their phone, their head is just directly in that phone. They can do the same thing with the Chromebook or computer. We need to teach them some tips for navigating face-to-face discussion when technology is involved. And then finally, the one I alluded to earlier, using video reflection to expand students' understanding of collaboration. So this is where you can take a phone or an iPad or a video camera, and you can videotape the group and then show them back just a short little piece. It could be 2 minutes or 3 minutes, and have them reflect on their actual work. What was I doing well? What was I not doing well? And that video reflection is so powerful for students. So that's the piece. So once you have introduced CSR to your students and they're starting to work through and become more comfortable with the strategies, what really is going to take this to the next level and make you feel like and make your students feel like this time is worth it, the kids are really benefiting from CSR, is that really good attention to what happens when kids are working together. The next thing I'm going to show you is just a little, and I won't spend too much time on this, but I wanted to talk to you a bit about lesson planning, and I think this is also a way to review. This particular lesson plan document is not currently on the website, but I'll give it to Molly, and she can make sure you have access to it. And, you know, honestly, you don't need this particular document. You can even just use a blank learning log. But a few tips to keep in mind. First, lessons should be integrated into your curriculum. So consider when a lesson on CSR is going to be useful. I have some teachers who always do CSR on Mondays to introduce the topic for the week. And then they would, if it's a science teacher, follow up with the lab or with other research or other kinds of activities with that grounding of what they learned in the content on day one. Then, you really want to think about what your brainstorm prompt is. It has to be related, or it is most effective when it is related to your learning objective. So you want to think about, what do I want the kids to learn today? Is this, you know, you've got to make sure you've got a good text for what you want them to learn. And then ask a brainstorm question that will help them connect to that learning objective. And you want to make sure you include some scaffolds, because remember, everybody has something to contribute. Everybody can participate in that brainstorm. And then you want to, you know, write down the vocabulary words you're going to pre-teach, or if you're going to provide some additional information. If you've got pictures or short videos or something that you can show the students to make those words come to life, that's really the best way to enforce those, reinforce them. And remember, if you pre-teach a word or a term, you want to point it out and have kids put their finger on it or highlight it or underline it in the text. Otherwise, many kids are not going to make that connection. They'll just zip right over it when they see it. If you have them, this word I'm talking about, this term, is in the second paragraph, third sentence. Put your finger on it. That's what we're talking about here. Then we get into click and clunk and get the gist. So writing down possible clunks is a great way to preview the text for the difficulty level. So you can go through and anticipate, how many words do you think kids might struggle with? You also are going to have some clunks ready. If kids miss a clunk, you know, they say they don't have any, well, there might be some words you have a feeling kids are going to struggle with, so you can remind them, tell me what this means. It's also a great way to make sure you know if these clunks can be fixed up with fix-up strategies. If not, you're going to have to handle them differently. You might choose to pre-teach them. You might let kids know that there are some words that can't be fixed up and give them the definition while they're reading. You just need to be on the lookout for how the fix-up strategies will or will not help students. Because remember, what we want is savvy strategy users. We want them to know when a strategy works and also know when it doesn't work. And it's helpful if you're not trying to figure that out on the fly. But you already know which words can be handled with the text. Identifying gists in advance is going to also be another way for you to understand the text difficulty. How hard is it to write a gist for this section? And it's going to help you evaluate the quality of student gists. From experience, I can tell you, it's very difficult to know what kids are talking about if you haven't not just read the text, but also written up a gist. Then you can start to evaluate their gists related to what you have written. Same for questions. Preparing some sample questions supports scaffolding and evaluation of student work. If you kids are really struggling with a question, you might have identified some question stems that could be helpful for that particular section, or you could guide them. You know, look in this second paragraph. Maybe you can think of a question related to this piece. And then, of course, in the review, planning a whole class review really supports connections to curriculum and essential ideas. So I think those that lesson planning template is important, but really what's most important is for you to be planning in advance. You need to read the text in advance and have each part of CSR worked out. And many teachers can do this in, you know, 10 minutes or so, 10 or 15 minutes. You can get your whole lesson planned for CSR and really give kids the opportunity to go deeper because of the work that you have done. In the next video, and this is a teacher is preparing to show other teachers his classroom. And in advance, we call this a pre-brief, he has done a short screencast. So this is very casual. He's just probably not reading from a script, but just talking through. So know that this is not a professional video that you're about to see. But he is trying to tell you a little bit about why he chose this lesson and what students are working on, and if you were in his class, what you would expect to see. So, Molly, I think we're ready for this video, please. Okay, so one thing I hope you noticed from Will's discussion about his lesson is how important the reading is in the curriculum that he's teaching. So he's not just plopping in some random reading in the middle of the week. He has thought it through and really made some important connections. As a side note, that news ELA is a wonderful resource. I would say out of all of the text resources we have, that seems to be a teacher favorite, news ELA, and it's used by teachers in all content areas. So it's something you might want to check out. Another thing you might have noticed is the modified learning log. So what they have done at the school where this teacher teaches is they have taken the text and put it into the learning log, kind of combining both of them so the kids are not going between a textbook and their learning log. They have everything together. And in fact, many of the teachers use Chromebooks, and the kids are doing everything online. So having that reading and the learning log all on the same screen is extremely important so the kids are not getting confused going back and forth between different screens on their computer. So that was another reason to put them all together. But many teachers have done that, and it's also nice practice for annotating that kids will continue to do as they get older. So it's like a make CSR, the learning log piece, into kind of a scaffolded annotation device. Okay, so before we get into a little visit to the website, let's just talk through next steps. Keep working on CSR. If you haven't had a chance, be brave. Try even one strategy with your students and see how it goes, and then keep adding on. You can download the cue cards, learning logs, and everything else you need from the website. And here it is again, toolkit.csrcolorado.org. And as I have mentioned before, you do have to create an account, and that just takes a couple of minutes, but then we know who is using our site. If you have any questions as you go along, you can always contact me. And if you would like to order a CSR classroom kit, most of the videos, the students are using this particular kit. It includes 25 of the flipbooks. That's the spiral-bound thing you're seeing that says CSR Classroom Resources. It has the fix-up strategies. It has root word, prefix and suffix lists. It's got the question stems and a few other resources in there, cognate list. We don't make any money from any of this, so if you would like one, you can contact me. They're just charged at cost, so what it costs us to create them plus the shipping, and you can also order materials individually. But I just wanted to let you know that those are there if you are interested. And now we're going to do some screen sharing. So Molly's going to help me do this, and I'm going to log into the website and just walk you through a couple of different resources there. All right, so we'll see if I can remember how to do this. All right, so everyone should be seeing the homepage of the CSR toolkit is what we call it. So there is a section about CSR where you can learn more. So you can learn what is CSR, you can read about the history, you can also access research articles, you know, if you want to know what we've done in schools and in different research studies. The CSR Foundation PD, so here they are. There's an orientation that kind of just tells you about the website. And then, as I had mentioned, preview, click and clunk, get the gist, questioning, review, and collaboration. And I'm just going to go randomly to one of them. I'll take you to Click and Clunk. They all follow a similar format. And, of course, now my computer is moving slowly. I don't want to take up. We'll see if it gets there. Looks like it doesn't want to go. So I will show you then. in the CSR Advanced PD, we have a section on evaluation and feedback, collaboration. Those are the slides I showed you earlier, some of the resources there. We have a section on English learners. So for those of you that were here last time, I showed you these. One on learning differences, and et cetera. So all of these have lots of mostly mini lessons that are going to give you some ideas of how to really deepen instruction for particular types of learners or if you're just getting ready to try some new things. But what you're looking at right now is the Click and Clunk module. And if you look at the taskbar on the left, they all follow a similar format. So they give you an overview. The Learn section is going to teach you or your colleagues about the strategy. So it's going to tell you what is Click and Clunk, what are fix-up strategies, why is it important. The next section is going to talk you through introducing CSR to your students. You know, and that's where you're going to see the intro mini lessons and all of the resources there. The next section is teach, so that's going to give you some tips and ideas for what you do to facilitate as students are using Click and Clunk. How do you get the quality up and really maximize that strategy use? And then there's a conclusion. And so you can see with the other modules, they're all going to follow that similar format. And then there is another section that I think is really helpful, and that is classroom resources. So, for example, if we go to student materials, you will see available to download the learning log. There is a scaffolded learning log. There is a learning log that has a space for individual and group gists. So if you want kids to come to consensus by taking their individual gists and talking about them and coming up with one group gist, that is a learning log that will guide students to do that. There is a learning log that is slightly modified if you're using CSR with narrative text, particularly with a novel where the sections are very long. You're not going to brainstorm what you know about the topic if you are reading chapters in a novel. So some of the pieces are slightly adapted. And then we, over time, have had some teachers who have wanted to, you know, identify figurative language within a CSR lesson or use CSR with poetry, and we have an adapted learning log for that. All of the learning logs are Word document versions. Most of them are available in Spanish, some also in Vietnamese. And the reason they are Word documents is that you can adjust them to meet the needs of your students. Maybe you need more space for writing, or maybe you want to be able to have them available online so that kids can fill them in. So there are different ways to use them, and that's why we don't make them just in a PDF format that can't be adapted. We know that teaching works best when you can adapt it to your own classroom. Here are student resources, so all of these are in that flipbook, but you can also just download them as papers and put them in a folder for kids. So the role cards, the role rubrics, those are the evaluation rubrics we talked about, the fix-up strategies, and that touchstone diagram are all on there. And so there are different, there are teacher materials. The video library has lots and lots of videos, and each one is going to have a short description. You know, and you'll like some of them, and some of them you won't like as well. So if you're going to work with your students and show them, you might want to preview the video first and think about what would I like my students to get out of this video and what am I going to use it for. It's also helpful to use these videos when working with other teachers at your school. So you might want to look at one and say, gee, you know, do our students look like the students in the video? What could we improve in our own classroom? What could we improve in the videos that we see? Because these are real kids, real classrooms. There's always room for improvement, but you can see there's a nice library in different subject areas. So that can be very helpful. And the strategy intro lessons I have shown in each of our web series, but these are the ones that are used. They can be very helpful introducing each CSR strategy, and they are also adaptable. So you can put different readings in them or make them longer or shorter. In the strategy practice section, there are some tune-ups. So, for example, in Click and Clunk, promoting effective use of fix-up strategies, promoting quality use. Those are two different ways to really deepen the use of the strategies. Fix-up strategy 3, morphemic analysis, breaking the word apart, can be very difficult for kids. So we have a lesson here. And you might create more lessons along the way that are similar to these. And we have a variety of lessons in each strategy. So in Get the Gist, we've got a lesson on revising the gist, on promoting discussions using the fishbowl model, which many of you may be familiar with, teaching kids to highlight key information in order to help them see what really is the most important in a text, and so on. So there are a lot of resources. These practice sheets are more like something that kids could do individually. They can be very good warm-ups. So kids come in and it's a do now that they do for 5 or 6 minutes, maybe 10 minutes when they walk in the class. And there are lots of those, and those also can be models for other practice sheets that you might use. Some teachers also use the practice sheets for progress monitoring. So even though kids are often working in groups, they might do the practice sheets completely individually. And then you can look and give the kids feedback and see where are they with those click and clunk strategies when they're on their own. How are they doing individually? And then there's some tips and FAQs, so ideas that we have gotten from teachers. So that is a preview of the website, and I am going to stop sharing and go back to our main screen. And I would like to just take the last few minutes with you to answer any questions. We have a small group, and if there's anything that I can address for you, this would be a wonderful time to ask it, and it's possible that your question is a question that's shared by others. So I'll just give you a couple minutes, a couple seconds to see if you have some questions and before we're done for the day. And it looks like we don't have any questions, but I do want to just take a minute to go back to my email address, because even though you all are in New York and I am in Colorado, and it doesn't matter to me if you want to purchase a classroom kit or anything, if a question comes up while you're teaching CSR, I really would love for you to feel comfortable emailing me and asking me. I'm happy to help. I've been doing this for a while. Most of the things that come up I've seen at one time or another. And Robert is asking, are the practice sheets leveled for a specific age group? And, you know, honestly, they're not. They have really been used pretty successfully for kids from grades 4 through 8. But one of the things that you'll notice on those practice sheets is it's very easy to adapt them. So if your kids need more difficult content, you can see once you look at those practice sheets how easy it is to just put in another short paragraph and use the exact same activity structure that's at the right level. And Annette is saying that she couldn't open the skeleton lesson plan template. And you're right, Annette, that we have a glitch with both the full lesson plan template and the skeleton. So I'm going to make sure that Molly has the lesson plan that I showed you today, and she can send that out or make it available to all of you so you can use it. And we are working on that glitch on the website. If you notice anything else that you can't open, there are a few things. Please do let me know. I I think we may have one more question before we sign off. What is the best practice for providing feedback on student CSR, grading, reviewing individual answers? Great question. So you have the learning log. So the learning log is a really nice way for you to be able to check in with how your teachers are doing. And teachers use the learning log in lots of different ways. So one way it is used, it is graded like an assignment. So you would go through and you would actually look at each component of CSR and evaluate and give the kids, you know, if it's worth 20 points, you're going to give them a grade with some feedback. Other ways that I have used it is to tell students after the lesson that you're only going to be looking at one particular piece and you're going to give them feedback on that piece. So you might say to them, tonight when I'm giving you feedback, I am going to be giving you feedback on your gist. So I want you to look, review your gists, and put a star by the one that you would like me to give you feedback on. So either the one that you think is great, you know, depending on how you want to set it up with your kids, or the one that you're not so sure about. And then that is the gist that you can look at and give feedback on, and then you can start your next class by having students revise that gist that you looked at or share that gist in the feedback with a partner. So there's a lot of different pieces of evaluation and grading that are natural for the learning log. The other thing that I like to remember about these learning logs is because they are the same every time, they look the same, you can look at them over time and measure progress. It's a really nice thing to bring in 3 or 4 representative over time learning logs into a meeting to discuss students' progress or perhaps where they're still struggling. So you might be able to come to a meeting and say, look, here's the progress we've made in gist writing, but this student is really still having trouble formulating questions or, you know, whatever it is that the focus is for the student. The other piece of providing feedback is on the group work. So you want to think of the learning log as the log of their understanding of the text and their engagement in the process. But then there is this whole other piece of the collaboration. So those two different rubrics, there's an individual process rubric and a group rubric that I think I showed maybe last time or the time before. Those are on the website. Those are really helpful areas also to provide feedback both to the groups and individually. And there are other reflections. So some of the reflections that students do, the teacher can also do those. So I think giving kids feedback, even separate grades, if you're using points and so on, one on collaboration and one on the content of the learning log really help the kids see what am I doing well and what do I need to improve on. When you're giving feedback in real time in the groups, just a couple of quick reminders is really to listen and promote collaboration in the group rather than engaging in a lot of one-on-one conversations with students. So in the beginning, many students will say to you, is my gist a good one, teacher? And you have to kind of get back to the group and say, gist expert, has everybody talked about their gists? Let's hear your gist. And then the whole group is invited to give feedback and comments on that one student's gist rather than it going to you as the only expert in the room. So those are a few tips. I hope that was helpful in your feedback. Any other questions?
Well, I see Robert is, oh, he's typed thanks.
Okay.
This is Molly. I'm going to post the link to the evaluation, but please type a question if you have it. And we do hope you'll complete the evaluation. We thank everyone for coming. And I've seen some names that have been with us for the whole strand. So we very much appreciate it. And please do check out our webpage, as we will have some more webinar strands happening in the spring. And Dr. Boardman, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. If you can just
hang on for 1 minute.
It'd be great.
You bet. And thank you, everybody, for sticking with this webinar format. And I hope you all have a wonderful day and December. It was great to have you.